Jars of Clay puts it very well when they speak of the spiritual life as feeling like you're waking up. It feels like a brand new day. Having such incredible peace and purpose about life that you would use both hands, not one to call into the presence of God and the other to push him away, but to use both hands lifted high for the glory of God and for the good of other people. In this spring teaching series, which we have entitled Living Beyond Yourself, Turning Passion into Mission, I long for every follower of Christ in this church to know that you are forgiven by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. To know that your life has ultimate value and purpose in the hand of your mighty Heavenly Father, and that God has a gift and a place for you to serve. I found in my life that that's when I woke up. That's when life began for me. In short, when I discovered my shape for ministry and my place for ministry. In this Lenten season, in this sermon series, I am praying for you that if you don't already know that, your shape and your place for ministry, you'll find it. Because I want to hear from your heart the greatest spiritual affirmation that I believe any of us can make. When you can look into the face of your Heavenly Father and say, "This is what I was made for." There's purpose and power and peace that comes when you can say that. And I wonder honestly, how many of you really truly know your shape for ministry? What you were made for? As we begin this message today, I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 12. And I just want to look at one part of verse 6 because it's a great statement by Paul declaring your value in the sight of God and at the same time calling you to action. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. And it's on the screen for this service. Would you join me in reading together this great and uplifting passage? St. Paul says, "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly." Let's take just a minute and look at that passage. First of all, St. Paul declares with absolute certainty that if you're a born-again believer, if you have been saved by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, then a gift has already been purchased for you and planted inside of you. One of the great joys that I have in ministry, one of the great hopes that I have in this series especially, is helping you discern, develop, and deploy that supernatural gift of God in your life. Now, I want to introduce a concept today your shape for ministry, S-H-A-P-E. And because I really want you to internalize it, I haven't put it on the outline because I want you to write it down. Can you get your pen and your outline? And don't write shape across, write shape up and down. Got it? Because each letter stands for something. Your shape for ministry, S equals spiritual gifts. S equals spiritual gifts. H equals heart. And next to heart, write the word passion. I mean, what really gets your heart beating? A, abilities, natural abilities. P, personality, with all of its peculiarities, personality. And E, experiences, both good experiences and bad experiences. S equals what? Spiritual gifts. H equals what? Heart, meaning our passion. A equals what? Our abilities, our natural abilities. P equals our peculiar personality. And E equals our experience. God uses all of these to determine our shape, our particular place for ministry. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever felt as I felt that I'm a square peg trying to shove myself into a round hole? I mean, I just feel square. Does anybody else just feel square? Isn't that a good word to describe your preacher? I am square. I am perfectly square. Well, that's not a problem unless I'm trying to deny my squareness and trying to shove it into a place where it will not fit. And here's where I sense a great deal of frustration among believers. We want to find our place to fit, but because we're unaware of our shape, we don't know where the proper fit is. Are you with me so far? I want to help you discover your unique shape for ministry. I want to help you find a place to serve out your shape for ministry. And in so doing, I believe you'll find, as I have found, a deep sense of joy and fulfillment and real accomplishment. Now, let's be honest. We all are gifted people. We have abilities. But friends, your life is more than the paycheck that you earn and bring home. Are you aware of that? Your life is more than the paycheck you bring home. Your life was intended to make an eternal difference in the lives of others in the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. So for our theme this morning, just jump in. Now, I'm not asking for you to do a remake of your life, a makeover, a do-over. I'm not asking you to try to force yourself to become something that you're not. I don't want all of you to be as super cool as me. That'd be great if I had a whole church full of super cool people like me. You know, I'm trying to do that to the staff. They're rebelling. I'm trying to form and shape the staff into a perfectly square staff. It's not working. No, I'm kidding. I don't want to ask you to remake yourself, to pretend you're something you're not. I'm asking you to get in touch with who you really are and embrace who you really are and enjoy who you really are. So let's look first this morning at how we can become more of who we are. How can I become more of who I really am? First of all, take a personal inventory of your life and ask yourself these questions. What is my personality? What are my preferences? What are my natural abilities? Think about those. You know, what are some of your natural abilities? Quickly, tell me. We don't have much time, but tell me. What are some of your natural abilities? You know what they are. Organization. What? Organization?
Listen well.
Listen. Come on, what are your...
Talking.
Praying.
Analyzing.
Now... Now, fundraising. Now, are you not responding because you're too modest? Or, now this is really serious, because you've never thought enough of yourself to really take a look at what you are good at, to be able to embrace that you are naturally talented. So if you're struggling with this inventory, well, what are my personalities, preferences, abilities? And let me ask you this question, maybe it's a little deeper. What really energizes you about life? I mean, really gets you excited and moving and motivated and engaged. Anybody want to offer a suggestion? What really energizes you for life?
Learning.
Food. Now, a skinny person shouldn't be able to say that. That's just not right.
Witnessing.
Now, these answers have gotten to be fewer than the last. And again, I wonder, is it because you've never really truly taken time to step back and get out of the routine of life that is so boring and really engage and examine what really excites you? I fear the number of people I know whose life is simply described this way. I've used this illustration before. Get up, go to work, come home, eat, burp, and go to bed. I mean, your whole life definition is just this endless cycle. Boring, endless cycle. You know, you got bills to pay and you've got a family support, so your whole life has ground to get up, go to work, come home, eat, burp, and go to bed. And that's it. Surely, great God, surely there is something more. Well, let me ask you a third question. If you're struggling to really be able to take account of your gifts, your personality, your preferences, then I want you to ask somebody significant in your life? What do other people say about me? What do other people recognize about my life? And maybe go a step further and say, what do others look to me for? What is recognized as something of real value, something that I can really contribute? I wonder, can you answer that? Now, I know some of you Twitter. I want you to Twitter out today this question to your friends. What do others look to me for? What do you look to me for? Is that the right question? Did I say that right? What do others look to me for? I want you to be flooded today with those that are closest to you affirming what they see as your shape for ministry. Would you do that? Twitter out to your friends. What do others look to me for? What do you look to me for? Because that all helps us determine what our shape for ministry is. Now, there's a whole list of natural things that we are good at. But here's the unique thing that I want to introduce into your thinking today. In addition to the natural things, your ability, your personality, your heart, your passion, is a supernatural gift that by your decision to follow Jesus Christ, by your being born again, has been purchased for you by God and the Holy Spirit has placed in your life. Now, I want you to get real clear with me. There are natural talents that you have, but in addition to natural talents, God has gifted you with a supernatural gift or gifts for ministry. And here's what's super exciting for me. When you know your heart, and you know your abilities, and you know your personality, and you know your experiences, and then all of those are brought together and used by the supernatural power of God, then is where you find your place of service. Then is where you can find your fit. And friends, it feels good to fit. Doesn't it feel good to fit? Now, I'm really old. And in the old days, we had to go outside to play. I know we don't do that anymore because we stay inside in front of our computers and Xboxes and all. But we had to go outside to play. And when I was little in kindergarten in Dallas, first grade in Dallas, Texas, we used to play a game called Red Rover. Anybody so old that you remember Red Rover, let somebody come over. Remember? And then what would you do? You would take off across the field and you would try to
bully through.
Well, bully's not a good word in church. Try to
clothesline.
Yeah. But do you remember what it felt like to be the last person chosen? Do you remember what it felt like not to fit? I don't want one person in this church to go another day in the spiritual realm without knowing where you fit. Chosen by God, empowered by God, ready to use two hands, as jars of clay said, to really make a difference in the world. What's a good definition of spiritual gifts? I like this one by Dr. Bill Hybels. It's at the bottom of your outline. Spiritual gifts are ... special abilities given by the Holy Spirit. By the way, if you've been baptized, you made a profession of faith, you've been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and who? The Holy Spirit, right? Special abilities given by the Holy Spirit and distributed to some believers. Is that what that says? No, to every believer, according to God's design and grace for the common good of the body of Christ. Friends, there are certain things that God intends for the body of Christ to do, to break in against injustice and oppression in the world, to break through the grip of depression and addiction that is so prevalent in our society, to break through the darkness of supernatural despair with the light of Jesus Christ. But the task ahead of us is bigger than any of us as individuals. We need each other, we need the body of Christ, and we need the body of Christ to be strong. your place in the body of Christ, knowing your spiritual gift and engaging that gift, exercising that gift, is essential if God's plan for the body of Christ to rise up and reach a hurting and broken world will ever take place. Now, there are three great passages of Scripture that I want you to be familiar with on the next page of the outline. Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 12. These are the three great passages, all authored by Paul, that speak about the supernatural, spiritual gifts of God that he gives to believers. And when we combine all of these, depending on how you parse out the Greek words, there are between 16 and 21 spiritual gifts in the New Testament. We've decided on a list of 16 drawn from these three great passages of New Testament Scripture. And what I want you to notice from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 13, is why God gives spiritual gifts to believers and to the body of Christ. Look with me in Ephesians 4, verse 12. Why? To equip his people. You got to belong to him. Equip his people for what? Works of service. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And you and I cannot, will not become mature, fully experiencing the fullness of Christ until we know our spiritual gift, our shape for ministry, and live out our spiritual gift. Here are the 16 that we're looking at: administration, discernment, encouragement, evangelism, faith, giving, helps, hospitality, intercession, knowledge, leadership, mercy, prophecy, shepherding, teaching, wisdom. There are lots of different guides to the different spiritual gifts. We're choosing to offer to you today at the end of worship one four-page guide that takes each one of these 16 spiritual gifts, defines it, gives appropriate biblical references to it, distinctive qualities of that spiritual gift, personality traits of that supernatural gift, and then maybe most importantly, potential places of service if that is your gift. But here's a really big question. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you actually know your spiritual gift or gifts? I'm sensing that it is not as many as it ought to be. In fact, I'm sensing it's not many at all, and that is so exciting for me. The possibility that you are on the cusp of discovering your shape for ministry, your supernatural giftedness by God. So, thanks to our equipping team and Gail Haney, we have a gift to offer you today. When you get home from worship, you've had lunch, maybe taken a nap, because I want you to be fresh and ready, I'd like for you to get on our church website, www.conyersfirst.org. It's there on the worship folder. There in the outline. And scroll down to the bottom of the page, and there you are going to find a link to an online spiritual gifts assessment. You're going to answer 64 questions. It's going to take you 10 or 15 minutes. 64 questions. Do we have the next slide? Okay, you're going to put in your email address and your name. On the next slide, we'll begin 64 questions. For instance, I can effectively explain God's word to others. And then you're going to choose, you know, not at all, sometimes, most of the time, definitely. I enjoy using my home as a place to minister to others. I prefer to work behind the scenes on projects or programs. I find it easy for me to trust God to answer my prayers. I'm willing to go against current cultural trends and philosophy if it does not support biblical principles. I am able to give more of my money to the church because I can save and manage my resources well. I am systematic in my approach to the Bible. My heart goes out to hurting people. I can create an accepting environment where people feel at home in any setting. I enjoy asking people to make a faith commitment to Jesus Christ. I take pleasure in encouraging people who may be doubtful in their faith. 64 brief questions. You click on the answer, and then at the bottom of the page, you hit finish, or whatever it says, and all of a sudden, it's going to populate a report. Now, this spiritual gifts inventory is not the end-all, be-all of every spiritual gifts inventory, but here's what I'm excited about. It's a beginning place. It's a beginning place to help you begin to think about your spiritual shape. And after you complete that report, you can print it or you can email it to yourself. And what I'd really like to ask you to do is take some serious time looking over that report, seeing what your spiritual gift or gifts may be, compare it to the spiritual gifts definitions, and begin asking God, God, where would you have me to use my gifts? Lord, help me to claim my gifts, to use my gifts as a beginning place. Hey, if you're still not sure, ask your spouse to take the same spiritual gifts inventory on you. Get it? Have your partner answer it as he or she sees you. Now, that's going to be a really interesting comparison. How do you see yourself? How does your spouse see yourself? Hey, maybe ask your best friend. They live in another city. Perhaps you can can we email the link? Come to our website. I'm not real bright. Come to our website and do this on you. See what the possibilities are in your own life. Rest assured, there is a special place, a special fit for you in the body of Christ, a place of service that will not be a drudgery, not be a duty, but will be a delight, will be a liberating delight. Why? Because you'll find your fit. You may be slap worn out at the end of the day, but it's a good worn out because you will know that your life really matters to the heart of God and in the heart of other people. I would like a show of hands. How many of you would be willing to say, I'm going to spend some time this afternoon, if I possibly can, and do the spiritual gifts inventory? I'm going to ask my spouse, I'm going to ask my friend to do the spiritual gifts inventory, and I'm going to take seriously what St. Paul says in Romans 12:6, each of us is given a gift. And we are called to exercise that gift for the goodness of God. Shape, spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, experience, all working together to find our place. Now, number two this morning. Then what do you do? It's more than just an academic exercise. The next way you find out what your gift for ministry is actually jump in and try it. Operate in that space of giftedness and frankly, see how it feels. I like the way the psalmist simply said, the way St. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You are created to do good, and good feels good. Would you take a moment and look at these three questions, these three statements, and see where you might fall? I'm currently serving somewhere and I love what I'm doing. I'll continue and fill in what that is. Maybe you already know your spiritual gift. Maybe you have found your fit and you are rejoicing as a believer that you are being used by God. Hallelujah. Maybe you're number two. I'm currently serving somewhere, but I think I'd like to try something else. Frankly, it doesn't feel like a good fit. It's not an exciting, passionate area of ministry. I'm ready to migrate and try something else. Maybe you're number three, and I suspect a lot of us are number three. I'm not currently serving anywhere, but I'd like to jump in and give it a try. Next week, after you've done the spiritual gifts inventory, after you've asked some of your friends to do that inventory, after you've taken seriously what your Twitter friends have said, what you're good at, then I want to invite you into the fellowship hall here and see representative ministries of all the good things happening in the life of our church. you're going to get a 40-page ministry catalog. And in that catalog are many ministries that are marked by an FS, which means first serve. A place where you can jump in, no strings attached, no long-term commitment, and see, is this the area of spiritual giftedness where I fit? Is this God's place of ministry for me? If it is, do more. If it's not, then look to another place. Surely, dear friends, in a 40-page catalog, you can find two or three exciting possibilities of service. 40-page catalog of opportunities to serve. Jump in. Try it. I like the way the psalmist put it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who take refuge in Him. Not only will doing the spiritual gifts inventory and having others respond to you help validate your shape for ministry, but actually serving in a short-term commitment will help validate your shape for ministry. Now, there's a chance that you don't have access to a computer. We have provided some paper copies of this spiritual gifts inventory. It's a lot more fun to do it on the computer, but you can do it on paper. There is a coding key on the last page. It matches up to the 18 spiritual gifts. And then on the back, you can list your names and begin to develop your spiritual gift profile, your spiritual gift place for ministry. Then after this sermon series is over, you'll be hearing announcements about classes to help really develop your shape for ministry. Once you begin to sense where it is, once you begin to try it out, we're going to do some more in-depth training in spiritual gifts and where your shape really will fit in the ministry of this great church. I believe the real key to a life of real joy, real meaning, real fulfillment is being able to say to God and to the world, this is what I'm made for. It's a confident statement of hope. It's a confident statement of God valuing me, God valuing you. It's a confident statement that my life can really make a difference, that I can live beyond myself. I invite your attention to the screen as we continue to hear some of the servants in the life of our church telling us how they have found their fit, their shape for ministry.
Originally, a few years ago, I started teaching for Vacation Bible School, and then one summer I had to miss because that was coincided with my family's vacation, and Nancy Pye had put something in the program asking for summer Sunday school volunteer teachers to relieve the year-round teachers. And so I thought, oh, okay, I can, you know, I'm going to have to miss these Sundays, but I'll go ahead and do that. And then I just got, just continued doing it, and that's that.
Well, we were fairly new to the church. We've been here about 3 years, I think. So I wanted a way to get involved in the church. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. So I had a brief meeting with Gail Haney, and she mentioned this as a possibility. So I thought, that might be right up my alley. So that's kind of how I got started.
Well, I didn't for a long time. In fact, I was 60 years old and something bad had to happen to get my attention. To really think about, to get out of that tunnel vision that I was in, really thinking about myself and my immediate family and not really being concerned about other people. Just going through the motions, you might say, going to church on Sunday and doing everything else. The rest of the week. But as I said, something bad had to happen. I suddenly and unexpectedly was unemployed after working a lifetime and being accustomed to that and being fulfilled by my work. But then I was without that, and frankly, for a sustained period of time, and had no place to go and nothing to do. So I started reading the Bible in earnest every morning, 5 o'clock, I'd wake up and I'd start reading. And then I became to realize what's truly important in life. And it's not those things that I had been chasing. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's the relationship with God. When that came, then I realized what I'm called to do in Scripture, and that is to serve God, to do good works. And that's what volunteering is to think about other people and not yourself and your immediate family, which you do, but God comes first, and service to God as you serve others is what is the first priority. I hadn't made it that, and I'm still not there, but I'm moving in the right direction.
It started about 9 years ago when I decided I should be doing something for God, and I was just looking for something to do, and this ministry just popped up in front of me and was the first thing that came along, and I joined it, and I just forgot to leave, and so I'm still doing it.
Been doing this since Larry Rary came and he started this and sent out letters, and I was very reluctant to do that at first, but I did and got some training, and that's probably 5 or 6 years ago. 6 or 7 years ago, I have a lot. Anyway. And I love it. I love it. I think that's probably what I was called to do.
Amen.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Is the Lord God Almighty.
I invite you to find the connection card in your worship folder and take a moment to complete the backside. I'd really like to encourage you to memorize our verse for this week, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Hey, I'd love to be your pastor, and Wednesday night I'll be hosting Java with John, an opportunity for you to come learn more about the mission and ministry of our great church, what it means to be a born-again believer, talk about being baptized if you haven't been baptized and become a part of our church. The bottom of the card is my privilege to be your intercessor on Tuesdays, to get before the cross, to get quiet, to be praying for you and those things that are heavy on your heart. Would you take just a moment and complete your connection card, and at the same time, prepare your morning offering for the mission and ministry of this church, for the Japan emergency, and as a witness that you are deciding to put Jesus Christ first in your life by offering Him a dime for every dollar of blessing in your life. Would you take just a moment, the connection card and your offering?
Be thou my benediction.
God's good word for your life. The seal and the sign of our sure salvation, the cross of Jesus Christ. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, His healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace, perfect peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.